And away we go, hour number two on this Monday, November the 18th, 2019. 11, 18, 19. 16 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride, and this hour is a real touchstone. And you're not going to want to miss this for love nor money, so stick with us here. I want to tell you, do a little housekeeping here before we get to our guest this hour. This coming Thursday morning from 9, 10 to 10 a.m., we're going to be joined by Ashley Williams, who is the star of the new Hallmark movie, Holiday Hearts. Now, this Thursday, Holiday Hearts premieres on the Hallmark Channel. So, Ashley Williams, the star of this new movie, Holiday Hearts, will be with us live Thursday morning, 9, 10 to 10 a.m., and then on the Hallmark Channel that night, you can watch Holiday Hearts. So, that is our housekeeping. Ashley Williams, Thursday morning in this time period. Now, as I said, this hour is a real touchstone because we are joined by a gentleman who I have had on this program many times, but maybe for no more special reason than we have him on this morning. There, we'll get it right, live radio. This gentleman, about 10 years ago, came to Marion and did a program with me. He is one of the kindest men I have ever met. He is one of the most celebrated actors in this country, has won more Emmys as a male than anybody in the history of the Emmy Awards, and that's well deserved. He is in so many of the television series and movies of our lifetime. Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the voice of Carl in the movie Up. He's Santa Claus in the movie Elf with Will Ferrell, which we hear and see a lot this time of year. He was in Roots, which is still shown in classrooms all across the country. Rich Man, Poor Man, he was there as well, and so many other movies. He is a classic, without question. And last Friday, I can't even believe this, he turned 90 years old. If America had a theater funded by the government, this man would be a treasure. And as a matter of fact, he is an American treasure when it comes to the acting profession. Nobody like him, and before we go to him, he's agreed to get up early with us this morning, and he's still working, still touring the country. Amazing. We're going to talk about this. What's his secret? But a special way to start off the program this morning, I'm sure you all know this song.
Take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show, love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have the town, why don't you take it?
A man who certainly made it after all and spread love all around, the amazing Ed Asner. Ed, how are you?
I'm eating my breakfast. Don't bother me.
Ed, oh my gosh, you got up extra early for us this morning, and I can't appreciate it enough.
Well, I'm always honored to be with you, Scott.
90 years... Oh, go ahead.
You're the ultimate.
Well, coming from you, that means a lot. Do you 90 years old? Did you ever expect to be around this long? We're so
glad. No, 90 years young. You got it wrong.
I said it wrong. See, I'm not the best anymore. I've screwed up already.
Yeah. 90 years young.
What did that birthday Friday mean to you?
Well, it was like a Mardi Gras. It went on and on and on and on and on. I got sick of it.
I heard there was a big party out there in California.
There was. You turned it into a gala. My son and his wife turned it into a gala for the center that we started for autistic kids and their families.
Now, I know this has become a very important part of your life in the last 20 years. Tell everybody about your work with autism.
Well, it was discovered with my fourth child, Charlie. And his behavior was erratic, and we weren't exactly sure what it was. We had him tested and discovered that he was autistic. And that began the long discovery of what autism is, the varying degrees of it, the fact that there was, at that time, he's 32 now, there was no actual treatment. And we began the process of dealing with this condition. Fortunately, he was high functioning. And even with a high functioning autistic kid, you've got problems. And we still have problems with Charlie.
As a parent, as an adult, how difficult is it to go through something like that?
Well, every parent has their snags, their follow-ups. I guess it's finding a way to protect the child as he matures and turns into an adult. That's the problem, to protect him, to save him from hurt. And he's had his hurt. Right now he's with Home Depot in their training program, or waiting to be decided whether he's going to be in their training program. He's gotten a bachelor's degree from the University of Southern Connecticut. But he has not held a job yet. So our discovery is to find the job that Charlie can put aside his quirks and function and serve the public and grow. Wish us luck.
Absolutely. We certainly do wish him the best and your whole family. What kind of father is Ed Asner at this point in your life?
Oh, I give him too easily.
You're a pushover.
I'm a sucker.
Do you have any grandchildren yet?
Oh, seven.
What kind of grandpa are you?
Distant. They've got their own electronic marbles to play with, and I think most of them would prefer the cell phone or the video game or the electronic game to talking to me.
Well, speaking of technology, I do want to let the listening audience know that Ed Asner has one of the great Twitter pages. We hear so much about Twitter now. It's The Only Ed Asner, at The Only Ed Asner. It's a great, great Twitter to follow, so you'll want to do that. What do you make of the Twitter world, Ed?
It tends to rule us, doesn't it? I think all the electronic gimmicks that people now resort to We're dispensing with human-to-human relationships, and I don't like it.
A few months ago, Ed, when your co-star Valerie Harper sadly passed away at the age of 80, there was a picture put up on Twitter, and you gave a great honor to Valerie. That most people picked up at that time, and I think the line at the end that everybody caught on to was, her brilliance burst through and shined its light upon all of us. Good night, beautiful. I'll see you soon. How hard was it to lose Valerie?
It was very hard, because she was a vital force. She was a great endower for the homeless, for the hungry. She did a lot for people. And she was inspiring by her acting as well.
She had
What's that?
I say, she had such a tough battle there the few years, but boy, she faced it like nobody else.
Yeah. I was amazed when I heard her announcement of what the doctors had said. Fortunately, they were wrong, at least in terms of timing. But the Grim Reaper finally caught up with her.
It's interesting.
We must be thankful for the time we had her.
You know, when I remember years ago, we had Phyllis Diller on the show, and she had just turned 90, I think. And I said, Phyllis, what's the worst part of getting to 90? And she said, well, you know, a lot of your friends are no longer around, and I think Valerie's gone, and Mary's gone, and Ted's gone. Is that the rough part about aging?
Yeah. Well, there's also a beating your chest and victory cry. I beat them off. I survived them. I'm the last one standing. But then you turn around, there's nobody to celebrate with.
Well, we're celebrating this morning, because we're so glad you're still here. And, you know, it's interesting, because 90, we think, my goodness, that is a big, big number. But people are still working at 90. People are still traveling the country at 90. You are the poster boy for this. How do you do it? Is the energy still there?
Oh, I've got plenty of it. I get my energy from the audience, which is why we're on these one-man shows. And they are very rewarding, more so than I ever realized before. To have a good show and do it and succeed in it, it's a rejuvenator, a rejuvenator.
You have been
trying. I recommend everybody to get out there and do a one-man show, a one-woman show, and reap the rewards that the audience will give you.
Well, it's very interesting, because you have been in people's living rooms now for half a century. So I would imagine when you do these shows, everybody feels like they know you. Is that overwhelming to a degree?
It's not overwhelming, no. It's enlivening. And I was lucky. I got on the board with Mary Tyler Moore and Lou Grant. And then as people slowly died off and began to forget about me, I became renewed and rejuvenated by doing Elf and by doing Up. And that captured the next wave of audience. I've been a lucky man.
When people come up to you in 2019, what's the role they most recognize you for at this point?
I still have to credit the 7 years of Mary, of Lou.
And, of course, the 5 years of Lou Grant, which followed,
yeah.
They're finding a whole new resurgence on some of these over-the-air channels, and I think even YouTube at this point has every episode of Lou Grant on it, so they're still out there as well.
Yeah. It's a great treasure trove I have, and I'm delighted it's there for people to pick from.
You know, Ed, I was thinking about you Friday when I knew it was your birthday, and I was thinking there is nobody, I cannot think of another actor who has had the breadth of work that you have had in so many different areas for so long. Lou Grant, and then your Santa Claus, and then your the voice of Carl, and now you're out doing the one-person show. That's a diverse career, to say the least. Was there anything you wouldn't do? Was there ever a role you said, I'm just not going to do that? Are you there, Ed? Did we lose Ed? Ed, are you still there? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get Ed back on the line here and find out if there's a role turned down. We're going to be right back after this, you know, technology, cell phones, short but important message. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Beers, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And we're back here. Don't forget Ashley Williams, Thursday, Hallmark movie Holiday Hearts, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and I think we have reconnected with the legendary Ed Asner. Ed, are you there?
Who was that you were talking to?
That was Pat Carroll. She was on your show.
Oh, was that Pat?
That was Pat.
She's a guest.
Oh, I love her. 92 now, I believe. I had a voicemail. Yeah. Had a voicemail from her last week. It's always good to hear from her.
Yeah. That's nice. Well, give her my love when you talk to her.
I will do that. She told me one time, she said the only time she ever got hate mail in her career was when she did Mary Tyler Moore's show and she was mean to Mary.
Oh, poor baby. Poor darling. Oh, I hate you. I hate you, Pat. That's terrible. I bet you don't survive it, Pat.
What we were talking about, Ed, before we went to break there, is there ever a role you have ever turned down and said, I can't do that role for this reason?
No. I never did. They never, it was limiting as to what they offered me. It was never too much.
When Will...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. When they came to you and said, we want you to play Santa Claus in this movie Elf, what did you think?
Perfect. I'm the perfect man for it. I've got the paunch. I've got the voice. I've got the nose. All I need is a fake beard.
And you were ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, Ed, this 90th birthday, talking about this, what's the secret?
Well, wait a minute. And I'll tell you something else.
Okay.
And I bet I played Santa Claus more than anybody else.
You've played Santa a lot.
Mm-hmm. More than anybody else.
Well, see, you've won more Emmys than anybody else as a mayor and as a male, and you've also played Santa more than anybody else.
Exactly.
Two good
and
records.
You better watch out. You better not shout, because Santa's coming to town.
Ed, talking about the 90th birthday, what is the secret? How do you get to be 90? We all want to get there.
You know, I'm still shaking my head that I got there. Well, I've never been a groundbreaker. I've always tended to think carefully before I made my misstep. So, I'd say caution is one way to get to 90.
Did you ever have a special diet or an exercise routine or anything of that nature?
I did them all, Sonny. I did them all. And stopped when they got too tiring.
And how long did it take for them to get too tiring?
One day.
Well, see, people listening, this can be done. You can make it to 90 without diet and exercise.
That's right. That's right.
Ed Asner proves it. At 90...
By every kind of exercise you can find. And then show folks how inadequate it is.
Is there any role at this point in your career that you have not done that you still want to do?
No, I don't think so. Romeo, he's boring. And I think I'm a little too gray-bearded to be Romeo.
What kind...
Well, here's Joe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But here's Joe's the one to play.
That's right. What kind of scripts do people send you at this point?
Ones that they hope will get done with me attached to it.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, because certainly at this point you don't audition. Everybody knows Ed Asner. Do the parts come to you kind of written? Is there an Ed Asner type?
Well, the benevolent uncle, or the grouchy publisher. Yeah. There are certain types that come to me. And I fulfill them brilliantly.
You absolutely do. Do you like to get roles that are not that type? That maybe are the sentimental grandfather or the nice store clerk?
In scene class at one point, a friend of mine named Malachi Throne wanted to do Othello. And I wanted to do Iago. And I decided to play Iago as he was described, a veteran, hardcore, longtime server as like a sergeant of the infantry. And I played it very rough hewn and Joe of the streets. And there was something missing in my performance because Malachi did fine as Othello, but I stunk as Iago. I got so bad filling out the tough guy image that I lost the intent of the character, which was evil, and to do evil, and to subvert Othello, and I lost the purpose.
Mm. That's interesting. Interesting how that can happen. Do you have any thought in your mind as to why that happened?
I focused on that one aspect too much and forgot the main thrust of the character and the smoothness and efficacy of the character became lost.
Few of us will ever have this happen to us in our life, but you have it happen and have had it happening since the early 1970s. If there's a Mary Tyler Moore rerun on, or this time of year they play Elf every hour of the day, do you stop and watch it? Do you like to watch yourself?
Yeah. I think I do a good job.
I think we all think you do a good job.
I won't take a back seat.
No, it's always great, and it's always fun to watch Ed Asner when he's on the television. Even if the rest of the show is not great, the Ed Asner part will be great.
Ah. Well, a feather for your cap.
Well, Ed, I thought one thing we would do here. We have about 20 minutes left here in the broadcast, and I think it's interesting when somebody gets to a milestone birthday that we go through some of these questions that they have in the Proust questionnaire in the back of Vanity Fair magazine, because I think they're interesting questions. So we'll just run through as many of these as we can go through here in about 20 minutes, if you don't mind.
As long as you don't run through me.
I'll try not to. I'll try to stay out of the way.
All right.
Here we go. What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Those around you are smiling and happy with the treatment you've given them.
What is your...
And it wasn't treatment. It was natural response to whatever they needed. And you were happy to achieve it, and deliver, and sit back and beam in their pleasure.
What is your greatest fear?
Well, at times it's being exposed.
Exposed in what way?
Finding that I'm not the goody two-shoes I thought I was.
Hmm.
That I did something I thought for others, and it turns out to be for selfish purposes. That's a fear.
Which,
the fact that I lack love.
You lack love.
That what?
I say you lack love?
Lack love.
Lack love.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I know everybody. Well,
I wouldn't go the end route in sacrificing myself to save someone else.
That's interesting. Which living person do you most admire?
That's a toughie. I like my kids. I think my kids strive to be good people. And through them, I hope to learn.
What is your greatest extravagance?
Sweet.
Hmm. Do you have a favorite sweet?
Do I have a favorite sweet?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite type of sweet?
Oh. Yeah. Hot fudge sundae. Hot caramel sundae. I like them all.
What do you most dislike about your appearance?
I'm too fat. On those Sundays.
Oh, boy. Now, here comes a big one. Which living person do you most despise?
I think we know, don't we?
I think we do. I think we can drive right past that one, not get off on that off-ramp.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Which words or phrases do you most overuse?
Which words or phrase?
Yeah. What do you use? I'm guessing maybe spunk. You get asked to use that one a lot, don't you?
Well, I like spunk. I'm a great admirer of spunk. And after that, if I can sell somebody they've got spunk with, then they're home free. I don't know. I guess the greatest one you get away with is, boy, you were something else.
That is a good one. That's a good one.
I like it.
When are you the happiest?
When I've got through a show and not made a mistake.
What talent would you most like to have?
What talent?
Yeah.
I'd like to be a great dancer. Oh, a great musician.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
Well, I grow hair.
It'd kill your whole image at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I know.
This is this is a good one. What do you consider your greatest achievement?
Picking up the bill.
This is a fascinating one. If you were to die and come back as a person, who would it be?
Ooh. Martin Luther King.
That's interesting. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
No. Unfortunately, I didn't.
What is your most treasured possession?
A treasured possession.
Were you a big collector of things over your career?
I collected seashells and stones. When I was younger, I collected stamps. I think now, I guess I am the most difficult of all the collections. I like to collect money.
That is the most difficult. I think we all can agree on that one. What do you regard as the lowest depth of misery?
The lowest depth of misery?
Yes.
Not giving your kid the food he needs.
What do you think is your most marked characteristic? What do people most associate you with?
I don't know. What do you think?
I would say it's probably the gruff attitude, but anybody who's been around you would know that that's not true. You're a very funny person, I think.
Well, you see, that's the point. People want to be chided, wanted to be rubbed wrong with a tough boss. They want that tough, no-nonsense boss. Was it keeps them in line. And that's, I think, what most people want. The demands of a superior. I don't know why. Maybe because people are frail reeds and they're afraid they'll go off the rails. Maybe that's why.
You know, it's fascinating. Because now that I think about it, this character of Lou Grant first came on television in 1970. It got its own spinoff. You've played that character on Roseanne in the 90s. You've done spots for TV Land. You've done spots for this MeTV. They all want you as Lou Grant. They all want you in the shirt with the sleeves rolled up and the tie. I cannot think of another character that has lasted nearly 50 years. 50 years next year, Lou Grant will have been around. Why is that character still so pertinent? Is it that thing we just described?
He's not a pretty boy.
Where is he today? Where's Lou Grant in 2019? He's 90 years old. What's he doing?
Looking for a job.
He wouldn't be one to retire.
No. he will always think he has worth. But he also a generous person under the surface. He'll say, "No, let the young punk do it. He can do it. Let Lofty do it. Let this one do it." But he'll be there to back up if you need him.
When you think back to that first Mary Tyler Moore episode 50 years ago next year, and you think of that moment, only two people were there, you and Mary, in that scene, and unfortunately Mary's gone now, so you're the only one we can ask this of. What are your remembrances in your mind during the famous job interview spunk scene?
When I said, "You know what? You've got spunk." And she towed the ground a little bit in appreciation. And I leaped on her with all 4 feet and said, "I hate spunk." The audience laughed, the 300 people in the audience were laughing so hard, I felt I could have total control over them. I could command them to walk off the cliff and they would do so. So that moment was so empowering, so gratifying, that nothing comes close to approaching it.
It's one of the most famous moments in television history and always will be. Want to get a few more of these questions in, some quick ones here. Let's see here. Let's do these. What do you have a regret? Do you have a greatest regret?
Yeah, I wasn't a good enough husband for my wife. Granted, I thought she had shortcomings too. But I should have been bigger than that. And overlooked her shortcomings to become a better husband.
Which historical figure do you admire the most?
Well, I think Lincoln sort of takes a top role. You have to praise Jesus. He certainly was unselfish. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Where are we?
All right, here. We got just a couple more of these. Do you have a motto?
Do I have a motto? That's a hard one.
You know, in my own mind, I think my motto is, "This too shall pass, in good and bad times."
Well, I should think of that more often. That's a good motto.
and the final,
Not when you're talking about your life, though.
And the final question, the big one that everybody always gets asked, 100 years from now, how do you want people to remember you when they see your work up on the screen?
True to life. A realistic performer.
Well, and I think we all can say that's the truth. And I wanted to save a minute here at the end because this is what I want to say. There have been a lot of people on this program over the years, and a lot of people have come to town and done a lot of things. And I can honestly say without question that Ed Asner, and this is what I always thought, before I ever knew Ed Asner, I mean, he is the man who's won all the Emmys. He's been on top 10 television series. He's been in hit movies. He's done all these things. There is no bigger star than Ed Asner. No bigger recognizable personality.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Well, thank you.
Well, but the truth is, your kindnesses to me over the years, you came to town, you've come on this show and done things that I've written for free. You've done them for free. You have come on when I've asked you to. You got up this morning at 6 o'clock your time to come on this show live. I just don't know any better man than Ed Asner, and it will always stand that way. You are a treasure to me as well as to America, and I'm glad I'm the one who gets to say it this morning.
You mush-mouth creature, you. Why couldn't you be a woman?
Ed, my goodness, happy birthday on behalf of a whole lot of people. And just because you're 90 doesn't mean I'm going to stop calling, so I want you on the program in the future.
All right, we'll certainly have another day when I'm 100.
We'll do it. Ed, stay well, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Five. Let it ride. Let it ride.
The one and only Ed Asner. You can't do any better than that. Don't forget, Ashley Williams' Holiday Hearts on the Hallmark Channel will be premiering Thursday, and we'll have Ashley Williams, the star of that movie, Thursday morning, 9, 10 to 10 a.m. Only one Ed Asner, the absolute best. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Grandmother would stand to the side while she, with a drink in her hand,